Rosh Chodesh Elul is the Yahrzeit of Rav Chanoch Henoch from Alesk, the author of the Sefer, the Siddur Lev Sameach. He was the son-in-law of the Sar Shalom from Belz. The Sar Shalom had a daughter, Freida, and she was a great tzaddikas. In fact, she worked a shop in order to support her husband, who was a tzaddik, of course. And the Rishoner once said about her, "I don't understand why she's working in the marketplace." And she had a shop and she would sell things. She says, "Tzaddikas like this is roi to take kvitlach." And she's in the marketplace making a parnasa. In a certain sense, it's similar to the Sar Shalom and his Rebbetzin, who we spoke about in the past, Rebbetzin Malka, that their relationship was, that tzaddikim said, like Adam Bishon Chavakoy de Machet, she was with him in all of his madrigas, and this Freida was also extra special. How did the Shidduch come about? When the Lev Sameach of Henoch was a youngster, so he accompanied the Sar Shalom to go an Erev Pesach for Mayim Shaloni. And he hopped on the wagon with like other boys. And it was a time that they would ask questions to the Sar Shalom, and he asked very sharp questions, and the Sar Shalom took interest in him. And when he came back from that trip, he told his Rebbetzin that he has a shidduch for their daughter Freida. Now, at the time, Rav Henoch was only 8 years old, but he had his eyes on him, and he went to the chayza to approve of the shidduch. And when he handed the name, and of course the chayza saw everything in the name, he approved the shidduch, and he made a comment. He will travel in your wagon again. And that was Niskayan. A short while later, that when the Sar Shalom was heading once again to Lublin to see the Chayze, so the children hopped onto the wagon, and when it was time for them to go back, Rav Penachal said, "I'm staying on the wagon." And he traveled with him to the Sar Shalom, and he met the Chayze then. He was an Ishbala. He was involved in very interesting inyanim at times with Dibukim, which we'll see in a moment. He gave Kameyas, and he had a lot of Vedifas, and he had a tremendous Tzuras upon him at times. People would see his face and they would faint just from beholding his Gevaldik Tzura. And he was very Isaac in being Reifei Cholim. There was once a Yid who came to him. All the doctors had given up, pains in his head. And with one look at the Lev Sameach from Alesk, he had a refuah. And he didn't understand. So the Lev Sameach explained that when the Eibishter brings tzaras on a person, it's in order for them to come to something. It's for a purpose. And a neshama of a tzaddik comes into this world with many chassidim. And chassidim have to find that Rebbe. And he said, the reasons for your headaches was in order to find your Rebbe. And now that you found your Rebbe, so the headaches went away. He would give kmeis and in order to bring refuas, and he would be merapa cholim with these kmeis with only using his name. He didn't use any shemas hakdoshim. He would write his name in the kmeis, and that's how he was able to be pa Yeshua. He said chalila v'chas that I should use shemas hakdoshim with my name itself. I'm able to be merapa cholim. When he would be merapa cholim and a name would come to him and take fitlach. So before he would daven for them, he would go to the mikvah. So he was immersing in the mikvah very, very frequently. On one such occasion, there was in the city of Alesk, a ditch was dug in order to make a new binyan, the Kedusha, a Beis Knesset, a Beis Medrash. And he was invited to lay the foundation stone, to put it in its place, and the stone had already been set aside. And so the builder said to the Lev Sameach, "So go into the to the pit and to establish the rock and to start the first diggings on top of it. So Lismeach looked at the ditch and he said, I'm not comfortable going in. So the builder was embarrassed and he said, Rebbe, why not? And he said, no, it doesn't look so safe to me. So the builder said, Shuldigs, I prepared this properly and it's very safe, done this many times. So the Lismeach didn't know exactly he knew what to do, but he didn't know how to do this in a way that he wouldn't offend the builder. So he said, let me go to the mikveh first and I'll come back. So when he was at the mikveh, so that pit, that ditch, completely caved in. And when the Lev Sameach came out, everybody said, it's a pellet, it's Ruach HaKodesh, v'chule. So the Lev Sameach said, no, it wasn't Ruach HaKodesh. I saw that there was another rock nearby who was davening with tremendous koyach to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that it wanted to be the Evan HaPina, it wanted to be the cornerstone for this Binyan Nekdusha. And I saw that Hashem would answer his tefillos. I saw that Hashem would answer the tefillos of this rock. V'kachava, and he knew that the ditch would cave in. And when they redug the pit and they came to the point, to the spot of the Evan Hapina, they saw that it was that rock, I mean, the rock that the Lev Sameach noticed, that was now in the place of where the Evan Hapina should be. That meaning that the tefillos of that rock were Niskayim, in fact. There was a father and mother who had a child, and the child was very skinny, wouldn't eat. And the mother begged the father to come to the Lev Sameach to have a Yeshua, and he refused, and he says it's all kishuf. And it came to a point where he had to agree because it was ruining his Shalom Bayit. It's not that he thought that there would be any hope for refuah for the boy going to the Lev Sameach, but he said it's worth it for Shalom Bayit to go. So he went. And he came on a Friday night to the city of Alisk, and it was very late and it wasn't the time for the Lev Sameach to see people. But as soon as they entered into the city and they were passing by the house, so the Lev Sameach was margish, Baruch Kodesh, that they were coming. He came outside and he invited them into the house. And he gave the boy a bracha and he set them up for Shabbos and he said, in shtub, in the home, is when you're going to find you're going to have a refuah. And the maaseh is that as soon as he saw the Lev Sameach, he knew that it wasn't kishuf. He had such a beautiful tzura that he knew that this was a heilig yid. And but he didn't know what it meant that in the home you're going to have Yeshua. He was under the impression that he was going to have Shalom Bayis, but he didn't think that it was going to be a refuah for the boy. On the way home, they stopped off at an inn, and a very unusual looking bird came in through the window, and the boy looked at the bird, and he said, this is what I need to eat. So the father was overjoyed that the son wanted to eat something, so he took the bird, he prepared it, and he gave the boy to eat, and the boy had a miraculous refuah. So when he came back home to the doctors and told the doctors what had happened, they were dumbfounded. And the doctor said, let me do further research. And after research, he discovered that this was a very rare bird from Africa, which it was brought down in their books, that this was the only hope of a refuah for this child was to find this bird. And that's what the Lev Sameach meant in shtub, meaning that on your way home, you would find a Yeshua for the boy, that he was able to be poyel, that the bird which was necessary for the refuah should make its way to the boy, and the boy was able to have a refuah. It said that he was involved in with Dibukim on occasion. One such maisa, that there was a boy who, the person who tells over this story, says that together we went to many tzaddikim, we went to the Prisadeh, we went to the Rukas Aboisem, and to the Shevet Sofer, and then it was Ben Azmanim, and my friend and I, we went home, each of us, to our different cities. And the boy never came back to Yeshiva, and I always wondered what had happened to him. And then I saw his brother sometime later, and he said that he didn't come back because a dibuk had entered the boy. And this dibuk was from the times of the Tanoim. And one of the grandchildren of the Divrei Chaim of Moshe was trying to be poyel with the dibuk, but the dibuk didn't give him the right derech eretz, and neither with the other dayanim who were in the room. And he said that his only hope was the Lev Sameach. He'd be able to be poyel for him. And when they asked why, because there were other very great tzaddikim at the time, he had said, because I'm earlier Gilgulim, I was a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, And the Leif Sameach is the neshama of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. And he's the only one who can help me. So they agreed, they had no choice. They calmed down the Dibbuk by saying that they would go to the Leif Sameach. And when that happened, so the Dibbuk was still. But then they started to speak amongst each other, the Dayanim, and they said, you know, maybe we can go to Shinov, you know, to go all the way to Alas could be a very far journey. Shinov is closed, the Devi Yecheskel is the Goyen Hador, Tzadik Hador, and he also had in Yonim with Dibukim on occasion. But as soon as the Dibuk was markish, that they were giving up on going to Alas, he made it a big ruckus again, and they had no choice but to come to Alas to the Leif Sameach. And when they came, so he dealt with the Dibuk and he gave a direction that he had to leave through the eye and leave through a window and not to make a big crack, and he was able to be Poel Yeshua for this boy. He had a chassid who was involved in the parliament in a certain city, and one of the ministers got very upset, and he threw him out of his position, and he came running to the Leif Sameach from Alaskend. And he didn't tell his wife, and he was heartbroken. And it was Friday night, Shabbos day. The Leif Sameach said, "Don't worry, I'm going to take care of you." And it was really Shalosh Shodis was about to be over, and he told the chassid, he said, "You should get home right away. Everything is going to be good for you, but don't wait for me because I keep a very long Shabbos." So as soon as it was Rabbi Natan, so he went home, and his wife said, "Where were you? Everybody's." The minister is looking for you. The minister is looking for you. And he said, "Why am I going to go running now in the middle of the night to the minister? I'll wait till tomorrow." And when he saw the minister, he said to him, "I was looking all over for you. Where did you run to?" He said, "I had to go see a friend." He says, "You're lying." He says, "You didn't go see your friend. You went to see the rabbi." He says, "You know how I know? Because the rabbi came to me in a dream, and he said to me, 'Don't you lay your hands on my Moishala.' He says, 'Keep your hands off of him.'" And he was petrified to start with this yid. So he reinstated him into the parliament, and until the day that the Leif Sameach died, he had complete respect for this Yid Ramosha, and he was in fear of what the Leif Sameach may do to him. As soon as Leif Sameach died, so he didn't mess with Ramosha, but he excused him from his services. But he was Poel Yeshua for him, long distance, by scaring the minister to protect his chassid. In his older years, when he became older, he lost his eyesight. And he explained that he cried so many tears for Yiddish Kinder. He says that David HaMelech came to him once and said, "How come you're not making an Esek of saying Tehillim Barabim?" So he decided that on Wednesday nights, he gathered an oilam together to daven for Yahaldi Yisrael, for Tinur Kishol Beis Rabban. And he said that he shed so many tears that he became blind in his older years, and he would say that, "I gave my eyes to Klal Yisrael. I gave my eyes for Yiddish Kinder." He had a very big avoda about the Hakafas and Shmini Atzeres, and it was renowned not just by the Yidden, but even the Goyim of the city. There was a city official who came to watch his avoda, and he was so enamored by the Leif Sameach, and he said it was l'malam in Ateva. The running and the dancing and everything that the whole Maisa which was taking place, and he followed the Leif Sameach home, and that was a mistake, because he was in a very big dveikus to Leif Sameach, you know, he's Shmini Atzeres, the highest day of the year, and he started to converse with him, and he made a comment in his gaiva to the Leif Sameach, and he says, "You know, Rabbi, you're old, and you do such wondrous things, so maybe before you die, you should give over, you know, some of your avoidas to your children. Maybe just keep the daytime avoidas, but the nighttime avoidas you should give to your children." The Leif Sameach gave him a very stern look, and he says, "A yid needs to serve the master of the world by day and by night with all of his koiches." And he says, as soon as he heard those words, he had a glass of wine for mechabed him to drink something at the home. He says it fell out of his hand, and this official also fell to the floor, and he rolled. He rolled to the door, and he ran on as quickly as he can, and he started to warn the people of the city, "Don't go to the Leif Sameach now. Don't go to the Leif Sameach. It's a sakana, anybody in his presence." When he was young, I forgot to mention in the beginning, his father, who was a tzaddik as well, he took the Leif Sameach and his brother, Reb Meir, to the Chayza, and that's when he was 7 years old. And although he was younger than Reb Meir, when he came before the Chayza, so the Chayza put his right hand on the head of Reb Henoch and his left hand on the hand of Reb Meir, like Yaakov, you know, did with Ephraim and Menashe. And he said exactly that. He says, "Bonayim v'ulam achiv hakatan hu henach yigdal mimenu." And the bracha was Neskayim. And Reb Henoch became greater than his brother Reb Meir. And he said that the tzura of seeing the Chayza that first time was etched in his mind. And I see the Chayza in front of me, kol shah v'shah. Tu B'Shvat was a time that he would daven for an esrog. And the Rebbetzin would prepare for him a dish on Tu B'Shvat from the esrog from the previous year. And at that time, he would pick an esrog. And I don't mean that he would go to the fields and pick an esrog. B'Ruach HaKodesh, he would look on the orchards throughout the world, and he would find the esrog at that time of what he wanted for Sukkot that year. So it happened 1 year that the Rebbetzin forgot to bring him this dish. And he said, "You don't have to worry. I looked all around, and I couldn't find an esrog for this year." And it turned out that was the year that he was nifter. And that's, of course, why he didn't find an esrog, and that's why she forgot as well. When he was young and first married to Freida, so she came with complaints to her father that he davened with all of his kaiches and he had some type of a liver issue and he was coughing up blood, but he didn't take time to make refuas for himself, and he davened with the same intensity and he was coughing up blood. So she said to her father, she said, "Tati, can you please convince Henachel to take it easy?" And so he says, "I'm not really sure what to do, because I see the hanas, which the srafim and the malachim all have when he davens. So I'm not exactly sure how to balance that." So in the end, they travel together to the sraf from Strelitz. And it should be noted that he went to the Rosh Hatzir and he went to the Rishoner, and they were all very taken by the Lev Sameach. But the Lev Sameach was very taken by the Strelitz guy. I think he spent 32 Shabbos by him. And one of the first times that he went with his father-in-law, the Sar Shalom, so the Sraf from Strelitz had very interesting inyanim when it came to food. We'd spoken about him in the past. And on Friday night, he would take the soup and he would take spices and salt and put it all into the dish. It was practically inedible. And he put some into his mouth, the Strelitzker, and then he looked at Penachel and he pointed at him and he said he wanted him to have the Shirai. Leif Sameach didn't know what to do. He says it's impossible to eat it. The fact that the sraf was able to be saved, it was because he was a tzaddik sedoilim, and he didn't know what to do. But the Sar Shalom says, if the Rebbe says to take, then you take. And he took some of that to eat, and he had a refuah the rest of his life. He didn't have any issues which he had had with his liver until then. It was all nisrafi, b'derech nes. Before he passed away, so of course he took the sixth aliyah every Shabbos, and it was Parshas Re'eh. And he never made Hosafas in the Aliyahs, but this time he did. And he made it so that the Shishi Aliyah should be Banim Atem Lashem Elokechem, although it's normally Ravi. And after his Tira, they understood why, because the Aruch HaKadosh says on that Pasuk that a Tzaddik is called a Ben, because when he dies, he goes Me'olam La'olam, not B'derech Misa K'chol La'aretz, but in a way that he goes Ba'aliyah Me'olam La'olam. And he understood the fact that he wanted that Pasuk, that he saw that he was going to be Nifter at that time. He made sure before his passing that he paid off all of his chayvis. He was very makbid on that. He was mayel and sandik a short while before. And Erev Shabbos Kodesh, he looked outside and he asked, "Is it daytime yet?" And he grabbed his beard and he turned to those around him and it was nesalik, and that was Rosh Chodesh Elul. Okay? Zchus Yalinu, Yogin Alinu Galkoi Solomay.